All right, you ready?
Yes.
Jeff.
Alessandrelli.
Good. That's how you say your name.
Sonny.
Blechinger. What are we doing here?
We're interviewing writers about their favorite bands and musicians and albums, and we're interviewing musicians about their favorite books and writers and stories.
Why don't we talk to writers just about their writing? This all feels very cute, the way I'm doing it. I don't know if I like this.
Cute?
Yeah, like too set up. I've got a question that I know the answer to.
I think the beginning can be kind of cute, right? I mean, I don't, well, what, I mean, I guess.
Welcome to the Steer. Is that good?
Yeah, that's good. That's really kind of like.
A good intonation?
Well, I don't mean on the air, but I just mean in general because, well, whatever. Yeah. We can say, there's a lot of different ways of doing it, I guess.
It's fine. So I'll answer my question. Both of us find that the best way, when you want to get to know somebody, say there's a writer that you might admire, and you go to their reading, and you happen to have a drink at the bar right next to them, and they're sitting right there, and you want to talk to them. If you start asking them about, oh, how did you craft this sentence, you might get an interesting answer, but you'll get a much bigger window into who they are if you ask them about anything else besides their writing. And I think both of us have had experiences. There can be a common ground for both of us when we talk to writers about music or when we talk to musicians about writing, because those are two things that both of us are really into.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why we wanted to do this.
I mean, I think there's a veil around what you do. And sometimes the more you talk about it, the more you can lose. And then even if you're very honest in an interview about what you do, you're still ultimately trying, at least for writers or I guess musicians too, you're trying to get an effect from either the reader or the listener. So you're still kind of, I don't want to say that you're creating a facade, but I mean, certainly authors have facades, musicians have facades, they have different masks that they wear in different situations. Whereas if you're talking to a writer or musician about something that isn't directly related to their art form, it can oftentimes be just as revelatory, if not more so, with regards to what they primarily do, you know?
And it can be really surprising how sometimes it'll even circle back unexpectedly to their writing, but then you'll see it or they'll explain it from an angle that neither of you were expecting.
Right.
So that's what we're trying to do with this series.
That's what we're trying to do with this show.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what we're trying to do with this show. And it's something that for me, as a person, I mean, I'm from Reno, Nevada, and I grew up, books were kind of in my life, but more important to my life up, I mean, I guess arguably to this day, but I mean, has been music. I mean, so I grew up, I was a pretty serious skateboarder. So, kind of part and parcel with that was finding out different music from skate videos and really hunting down these albums and occasionally going to shows. But especially in high school and as an undergrad, I didn't really necessarily go try and find the latest kind of hit novel. I tried to find some obscure kind of album that was on some skate video that kind of like changed my life. So the nature of kind of that type of thing was ingrained in me early on.
Were you a sponsored skateboarder?
By a skate shop. That's not important. No. I mean, I was garbage.
I'm sure you're pretty good.
Yeah, well. But the more important thing is, I mean, one of the things is I was a literature major as an undergrad at the University of Nevada, Reno. And up through my undergraduate, I wasn't that good a student. I didn't take it that seriously. I was more concerned essentially with music. And I grew into being a serious writer through music as well to a certain degree. I mean, I was in higher education for a really long time. And when I was at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, and this was like 2011, 2010, I was working on my PhD there. I got really into this French avant-garde musician, Eric Satie. And I discovered him before, but for some reason I was isolated in Nebraska, alone, and I was just listening to his music constantly.
Did you ever look at his scores?
Yeah, I mean, he wrote this book called The Mammal's Notebook. So basically I had this little book come out. It was just a little bit bigger than a chapbook, not quite a full book. And it was my first, like, kind of bigger thing, but it was called Eric Satie Watusi's His Way into Sound, and I wrote poems on his scores in the book. And so for me as a writer, music has always been kind of intertwined with my own writing. And I mean, sometimes I listen to music while writing, sometimes not, but it's something that's always there. What about you?
Well, I mean, I studied music composition in school, and we always got a kick out of looking at Eric Satie's scores, because he would have, it's really common, it's sort of standard that you write not just musical notes, but usually some kind of text to give an description of how you want it to feel, maybe somberly or brightly. And he would write things like, play like a peach.
I mean, he was an alcoholic. He died young, but once they found his, and his apartment was wild. He had all these pianos stacked up on top of one another, but none of them were like playable. But he wrote a song that's called Vexation that I can't remember the exact, but it's supposed to be played like 3 days long or something. Like it's ridiculous, ridiculously cool. But it's a 3 day long song. It's very monotonous. It's very repetitive. I mean, and people in New York occasionally like do it.
Yeah, there's actually a really nice tradition. Well, in the past 100 years or so of these very long pieces. And I've been listening to those. There's a piano player that John Beer introduced me to named R. Andrew Lee. And he's kind of made a career out of just playing very long solo piano pieces that are 4 or 6 hours long. Huh. But I've heard other stuff like that as well. There's a composer named Morty Feldman that would make really long
Morton
stuff.
Morton Feldman, I know him, yeah.
Yeah, there's tons of people that do it. And at first I thought, what in the world? Do I really have to sit and listen to this droning or just the same note over and over? But if you do, if you make yourself sit there and listen to it, you start to hear different things.
Sure.
I enjoy it a lot.
So the poet John Beer, who will be a host, who will be a guest on the show.
Yeah, yeah. We talked a lot about some of these more esoteric compositions.
But just to get back to the premise of this, I moved to Portland originally in 2005, and then I moved away again. I was again in school for a long time. And when I moved back for the second time in 2013, I'd been in higher education, like I said, for a really long time, and I was kind of used to writers getting together at the bar and like talking about essentially like dead writers. And what I realized when I got back here is that writers don't really talk about writing, or at least like my friends, I'm friends with a lot of writers, they talk about relationships and they talk about music, you know. And initially I was really bummed about that. I wrote this, we're not going to link to it because it's garbage. I wrote this essay on the fanzine, the website The Fanzine, about how Portland has all these writers, but no one actually talks about writing. It was no good. But it was something that I became very aware of, that I'm friends with all these writers, but we never actually talk about what we do. We talk about only the things that that either fall apart, you know, like dating, or maybe they stick together, or we talk about like music. So I moved away again in 2016, and I'd been very conscious of the fact that, you know, this show is something that I've been thinking about for a long time, because I learned the most about my friends' writing practices and who they were as writers by talking to them about what they didn't do, talking to them about music, essentially. because most of my friends, some of them are really into to film too, which I am not. But talking to them about music told me more about who they were as writers. So I moved to Omaha in 2016, and I taught at a school where I had to commute to, and I listened to a lot of literary podcasts because it was an hour commute each way. So I was on the road 3 to 4 days a week for 2 hours and change. And what I learned about literary podcasts is sometimes I don't want to know anything about my favorite writers. I don't want to know about how they write. I don't want to know. And again, not an original view, but I'm not going to name any names. But there were some writers who I really, really like. And basically, I heard them talk and I was like, this is not making me want to read the book. I mean, but maybe it makes me want to read the book, but it doesn't make me want to know them. And I think in the way that the show was supposed to was supposed to make me want to know them, I guess.
But you think that that effect was stronger because of the format of the show where they had them talk about their writing process, for example, rather than the rest of their life?
And there's not necessarily, again, there's nothing wrong with that. I just thought it was kind of snoozers. Every writer is different, you know, but it wasn't for me. And sometimes I just, especially if I engaged with the writer, I wanted to hear them talk about anything but their writing or their latest book. And, you know, other literary podcasts, they do talk about things that it's not just always about those things. But what I wanted, because I'm into music, was something that was about music, I guess. Because so many writers are invested in music in different ways, shapes, and permutations.
Yeah, I've found whenever I'm reading someone that I admire, while I'm reading it, questions will come up in my head, and I'll think, where did this sentence come from? Mm-hmm. Or why were they thinking when they put this together? But it's usually better just to let that question exist than to try and pull out the answer.
Sometimes the answer isn't that interesting. And I mean, I do remember the author Mary Gateskill in a print interview was just like, you don't know. I mean, she said, I don't know. Like, you have to sit down and work at it. And it wasn't, well, I guess I just accepted that and I didn't need to know. I mean, you just don't know. So sometimes kind of picking at the tick or like kind of picking at the scab, I'd rather hear about something else because it gives me more insight into that unknowing. So this show is basically indebted to talking with writers about music, but we also go elsewhere. So delving into kind of their childhoods, delving into some of the things that it's not just going to be, oh, here's your latest book, let's talk about it, and we're out in a half hour. So we normally have hour-long chats, and then we do basically a playlist of the music that we've talked about, or sometimes in the case of musicians, sometimes the writers that we've discussed.
And every time a guest sits down, no matter, most of them I don't know personally, but every time they sit down, even if we're using music or literature to get closer to who they are, that's really all I care about is just finding out who they are.
Right, and we've had some interesting discussions because sometimes you do go in with expectations and they're immediately kind of blown away or they're immediately subverted. And kind of part and parcel with that, I do think obviously this isn't the most original idea in the world. So one of the things that I personally am indebted to is Jackie Clark did a series on the online poetry website Cold Front Mag called Song of the Week, where she had poets write about their favorite songs. And I did a couple of those, but I mean, I've been reading those. It just, earlier this year, it just stopped after 10 years. She stopped the series, or at least it's on hiatus. I remember reading those over and over again with different writers, and it was always really interesting to hear about some of this stuff. And it's not their favorite poem, it's their favorite song. And again, I found insight into their own kind of creative process through that. And then also there's the blog, the Large Hearted blog, which is...
Large Hearted Boy.
Large Hearted Boy, yeah, which is based off a Neutral Milk Hotel song. So it's a great resource, but it's not actually audio conversations, it's just playlists.
Yeah, for me, what I like about this format is it It maybe just matches a bit of my own personal history, which has been a lot of switching back and forth. Like, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a writer, and then I got discouraged, so I switched over to music, and I was trying to be a music composer for a long time, for, I don't know, 10 to 15 years, at least. And then I got really burned out on that, and then I went back to writing. And so I feel like I switched back and forth a lot between those two worlds.
And you were, how for 10 to 15 years, you were trying to be a composer?
Yeah.
And what did that entail?
Well, I mean, it entailed studying music, so I studied music composition.
So you can read music?
Yeah, yeah.
But studying music composition at what level? You were at a conservatory?
It was a university. It was like a school that's famous for its agricultural department.
Right. What school?
At Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo. It's beautiful. I was like a naive high school kid, so I just went there because it looked pretty, and
sure,
I wanted to live in a nice little
town. I spent a summer in San Luis Obispo staying in a studio apartment.
It's wonderful. The summers are great because all the college kids are gone.
Yeah, I was there. It was very hot. I was in a studio apartment with two other dudes.
Yeah.
We dude boxed a studio apartment. I was young. But it was a great summer.
Yeah, I loved it there. But then when I got out of school, I was sort of had my head in the clouds while I was studying. I think like a lot of students you do, and then you step out in the real world and find out, in my case, there aren't really jobs for
experimental musicians.
Well, I wasn't yet failed.
Yet. Experimental musicians.
Experimental composers. That's not a highly sought after skill. And the only two options I could find were go the academic route and become a professor, which I did not want to do, or try and get work in LA, like writing for movies and TV. And I really didn't want to go to LA, but I didn't see any other choice. So I went there for 3 years and tried to write music for movies.
This is in your early 20s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you just end up, unless you know somebody, which I didn't, so you end up doing a lot of free work for student films and hoping one of them gets a bigger budget and
sure,
carries you along. And after 3 years of that, I left. I was like, enough of this. I couldn't handle LA.
You went to Denmark?
Amsterdam, the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And then I became a journalist there.
So you do have a plethora of backgrounds.
Very
different than me, because I just hid away in school from 18 to 29. Reading, writing, listening to music.
Sounds wonderful.
Now, yeah. It might be ideal in an ideal world, but...
Yeah.
Why is this show called The Steer?
Oh, we were batting around names for a while. We had a bunch of options, and then I talked you into going with The Steer. I think somehow I liked that The Steer is the more gentle, the most gentle and feminine of the male cows, for obvious reasons, if you know anything about animal husbandry, and
which we all do.
Yes. I won't explain it. And I thought that we're sort of trying to steer the conversation away from what a person might normally be expected to talk about. And you were fine with it. You said, great, let's do it. And then I immediately hated it.
You later said that maybe we should change it to The Eraser, or what was the next name then?
I can't remember. Lemon? Wallet?
I think, yes. One of those.
One of those. That's the thing, though, with names. It doesn't matter.
They make no difference.
Yeah, and I'm never going to be happy with one, so we're just going with it.
Do you have a favorite band name or musician name?
Wendy Carlos. I like her name.
Wendy Carlos?
Yeah.
That's just somebody's name?
Yeah, she's great. She's a famous... she's one of the first electronic music composers.
She's one of the first electronic music composers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like back when computers were the size of a house. So it wasn't it wasn't something that most people had access to.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, she's amazing. We should look into her. I can put a link. That Wendy has a really rich history.
Let's do it.
Okay.
The Steer.
You're listening to The Steer, recorded at KBOO Radio, broadcast on dublab.com, hosted by Jeff Alessandrelli and Sonny Buckinger. For more, See our website at www.the-steer.com. You can download our episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, and anywhere podcasts are found.